All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, he is a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. Stan McDonald is not only a good lawyer, he's a longtime conservative. He's a sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about him here in just a few minutes. Okay, so there's an article out that I read just this morning on Town Hall by Katie Pavlich. And in the write-up, she details President Trump's plan for making D.C. beautiful again. Notice I didn't say just safe. Not just safe. Beautiful. This is about more than just stopping crime. It is. It's more than about stopping crime alone. It's about restoring quality of life that has been missing for the 700,000-plus people who live in our nation's capital. Look, under Section 740 of the D.C. Home Rule Act of 1973, the president has the authority to step in for up to 30 days to assume operational control of D.C. security. That's the legal grounds for the Safe Streets Initiative that Trump has instigated in D.C. That's the operational premise, if you will, for his surge of federal law enforcement and National Guard troops to quell the out-of-control gang violence and the rampant crime in our nation's capital. And yes, Democrats are having a complete Trump derangement fever dream over the whole thing, but if you will notice, the mayor of D.C. has chosen not to challenge it. And the police union in D.C. has fully endorsed it. You know why? Because they live there, they work there, and they want the help. But as Katie Pavlich pointed out this morning in her article, this is bigger than just safe streets. You see, Trump wants to actually renovate Washington, D.C. He wants to make it shine. He wants it to be a jewel again, a shining representation of who we are as a nation. In his recent address at the Kennedy Center, Trump went there. He talked about making D.C. both functional and beautiful again. In his comments, he said this. Here's his quote. He said, "We're going to redo roads. We're going to redo the medians, the pavers. We're going to take all the graffiti off. We're going to have to remove the tents and the people that are living in our parks. We're going to be redoing the parks and the grasses, all of it." Well, during a briefing at the White House Tuesday, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, she revealed some of the options that are being talked about for all these homeless encampments. Her quote was, she said, 70 homeless encampments have been removed by U.S. Park Police. There's only two homeless encampments remaining in D.C., federal parks under the National Parks jurisdiction, and the removal of these two remaining camps are scheduled for this week. All right. So the Trump administration apparently wants to address infrastructure, cleanliness, homelessness, and public safety. In short, what the president is talking about is quality of life. The big, beautiful plan, if you will, is about making D.C. a place that people want to thrive in, not just survive in. And it brought back some memories to me, I'll be honest with you. Let me tell you about it. In 2004, I was an Army major doing my second tour in the Global War on Terror. I was in central Baghdad, attached to an infantry battalion under the 1st Cavalry Division during a pretty crazy time. We got mortared, we got rocketed on our small FOB near the old Iraqi Olympic complex downtown. Happened all the time. Car bombs, IEDs, direct action conflicts. I participated personally in multiple cordon and searches, combat sweeps, targeted raids. There was a book that was written about my battalion. That book that I highly recommend is called The Devil's Sandbox by a guy named John Bruner. And it tells the story of our one battalion standing up under withering conditions in hostile places like Baghdad's Rusafa and Adamiya and Sadr City districts. We dealt with Iranian influence, Ba'ath Party loyalists, the Shia uprising of Muqtada al-Sadr, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq. It was a bona fide combat zone, and I served among some heroes. But in the book, The Devil's Sandbox, my name is in a section that might surprise you. You see, I'm specifically mentioned in a section that dealt with trash and city services. You heard me. Airborne Ranger Phil, and they quoted me yelling at garbage men. You know why? Because part of my job in the midst of all the other combat ops we did was to help restore quality of life to the people of Baghdad. So yeah, I would patrol late at night, I'd participate in raids on bad guys, and the next day I'd supervise removing massive building-sized piles of rotting trash from the streets of the city that were causing stench and disease. The images you've seen of Saddam's statue being torn down during the invasion, that was Ferdow Square, and that was part of my area of operations. I personally oversaw the restoration of that square to remove all the filth and the graffiti, and I did the same in multiple other sites around my AO. I also personally interacted with the Iraqi National Archives, which was located in my area of the city, to try and help them get back online and restore their historical records and set their history aright. I did everything from the reestablishment of schools, parks, sewage, trash removal, clean water, gave out school supplies to kids, and then I went and rounded up more bad guys and got unexploded ordnance off the streets and rushed through the doors of a Target building at 2 a.m. to find insurgents. Why? Because we knew it was about quality of life, that's why. We knew that safety was only part of what made Baghdad safer. It may sound crazy, but people who have clean water and are not living in filth and have a little pride in their community and don't get shot at, they tend not to become insurgents bent on killing you with a car bomb. Trump knows that. That's why he's bent on doing more than just stopping bad guys. He wants there to be a quality of life for the people of D.C. that makes them all proud of where they live and gives the world the best possible view of who we are as a nation when they come to the capital of the free world. Yeah, so if you love a place and you call it home, right? Great. But you got to choose to make it better. You got to look at the whole picture. You got to determine to expect more out of your elected officials. City services should actually serve the people. It's not too much to expect crime to be under control, water to be clean, streets to be free of potholes, your kids to be able to play in the parks without wondering whether drug addicts are over there in the bushes. I have a friend I was talking with recently. I've told you about her before. She and her husband moved here from sunny San Diego, California. I asked what made her move from a place that they had lived in for so many years. She said two things: freedom and cost of living. She said that when the realization came that she and her husband had reached the ability to retire, they recognized that the level of restriction and taxation on life out in California was such that they could pay their bills, but they wouldn't really be able to enjoy their hard-earned retirement. So they loaded up the truck, hitched up the boat, filled up the cars with gas, and headed to Alabama. She said they really thought about putting a sign on the back of the U-Haul that read, "Leaving California." And look, they're not alone. Another couple in my church moved here under similar circumstances. And as an attorney, I did a closing not so long ago for a man who moved his entire business here from California. And he bought a multi-million-dollar home with cash, so you know he had resources. But he literally said, "I've got to get out of there. That state is taxing me to the ground." Yeah, so welcome to Alabama, where your rights still mean something, property taxes are lowest in the nation, freedom is more than just a word, and quality of life is real, my friends. It matters. It does. Look, I've lived all over the world. There's no place I'd rather be. My family has deep roots here in Alabama. The military has had us travel quite a bit, but I've lived in Germany, England, Kansas, D.C., Mississippi, and here in Alabama, I've lived in Huntsville, Mobile, Gadsden, worked in Montgomery. I've served and visited multiple other countries, and I've come to appreciate what's here. I graduated high school at Grissom up in Huntsville. I went to college at South Alabama, Mobile. I got my law degree in Birmingham. I met my wife here. My kids were born here. And I'll be up in D.C. tomorrow for another CNN gig. But if someone came along and said, "Hey, we want to take Right Side Radio nationwide. We'll pay you like a Sean Hannity salary," the first thing I'd ask is, "Can I broadcast from Alabama?" Is it possible for Alabama to be better? Yeah, 100% yes. We got a strong base to work with, though, stronger than most. And yes, I get frustrated at the politics and the politicians. I mean, I used to be one. I can say that. But I'm also glad that we are in the position of being a more conservative state on a regular basis as opposed to just desperately trying to find conservatives. But all of that sense of home I just described, that's not just built on sentiment and memories. That's not just a heartstring thing. That's not just sunny skies and unicorns. This is a place where, for all the warts and the blemishes that I rant about sometimes, I still know that quality of life is better here than it is in so many other places, because quality of life matters. And Donald Trump has figured that out. That's why he's not going after just making the streets safer, which is also key. He's also making sure that the people of that city know he's got their back and that he will do things. And he will take care of things, and he will do all he can to improve that quality of life. So all said and done, yeah, I know why I live here. It's partly because there's family and there's a sense of familiarity that I have here in Alabama. But it's also because I've seen so much else of the world and our nation. And I know what we've got, and I know what we can be. And I think that's the driving factor for what President Trump is now doing in D.C. That big, beautiful plan, it's about way more than just reducing crime. It's about ensuring a quality of life that makes people want to thrive there. So ask yourself, why do you live here? It's a real question. In the meantime, do not forget that what we're talking about in Washington, D.C. is about building quality of life. We tried to do it in Baghdad. Surely we can do it here in our own capital. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.